never got no sunlight. It just came up like we did, like this. Everybody was already in place when Pacifica went out. And this little tree started growing in the forest. It couldn't get no sunlight, and it couldn't get, so it looked ugly and fragile. And then one day it looked around, and it's the biggest tree in the forest. Because there's a universal God intelligence that say, when you can't get the proper sunlight, I'll give you some roots that can go deeper down in the ground than any other tree. And then one day, everybody, when they need to run for refuge in the park, they run to this tree. This is where we are. And mosquitoes do not create swamps, and swamps do not create mosquitoes. But if you get rid of the swamp, the mosquito will leave. This is all we're going to do, is get rid of the swamp. That's all this is for. Get rid of the swamp. And the mosquitoes will leave. And the seed, when I found out where I learned the seed from, then I wasn't scared of it. I learned from my mother. She'd get up in the morning and put lipstick and rouge and makeup on. She knows she didn't look like that. And she put some shoes on, and I couldn't see her bunions. That's deceit. And then I saw her juice a lemon, and then she put some sugar and some water in it. That's deceit. Lemons don't taste like that. And so I just say, you know, once we realize, you know, who we are, but what we have, the ingredients to change it. And sure, there's racism, there's sexism in this room. You bring it with you. So let's deal with that and go past that and say, now, what do we have to do to save this and make this flourish and change the whole piece? And then it happens. And so, you know, I went to West Nile to see if I could come back and find out how they dealt with the virus, since the Center for Disease Control don't understand it. So I get all the way over there and find out they never heard of it. So I call my wife and say, well, I'm just going to, oh, since I spent the money, I'm going to drop off in France and get me some French toast. And they never heard of French toast. And so again, let me just say thanks.
Thank you.
To those who have carried us up to this point, to where we got something to save. Whether we save it or not, that's up to us. But I can tell you one thing, the integrity, sitting in this room, and the integrity of the people that's on the interim board, regardless of what we believe in or what, the power is there. I mean, when I get to talking about people on the board, the first thing I hear people say, how intelligent you are. And I mean this. Today we were talking, and how so-and-so is smart. So-and-so, well, shoot, everybody Hitler surrounded himself with was smart and intelligent. And look where it is. But that ingredients of the light that we bring, if we just let it shine and get to know one another. You know, don't just sit out here and during break time, don't intermingle with somebody else that you didn't come with. I mean, this universe survived without Pacifica. It will survive with it, but you can sure make it easy. And finally, it's kind of like where we are, and we can go through all of this and all of this, and just what I get out of this is life is on the other side of the Grand Canyon. And I'm over here, and I got to jump all the way over there. That's where we are today. And to make it 99.9%, I didn't make it. I'm dead. So what we got to do is jump all the way across. And if we're not willing to do that as individual or as a group, then we need to say, I just don't have it in me to make it all the way across, so let me get out y'all's way and bring somebody else in here that might can make this leap. But just leave here knowing how important you are and how beautiful this can be. Once we get through all of it, and once I examine his head and find out he has a brain tumor, I got to hurt him to take it out. I got to hurt him. And so there's going to be some hurt to change this around. And once we're willing Church, accept that. So I just say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the love. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Again, you know, we knew that we were not going to have time today to really get into the heart of any of the various issues that have been raised. So we did want to get them on the table and figure out how to keep this conversation going. I do want to, if unless there are other comments from anybody on the board, I do want to just take the opportunity now to ask the three people who didn't speak last night, and then three other people indicated that they wanted to make some comments now. You're on the list. I don't want to make a lot of... we don't have time this morning to have a big, open, general discussion with everybody. I'll put Willie on the list, too. Sorry, I'm forgetting your name again. Yes. Forgive me. I know you told me your name last night. I'm sorry, I forgot it. Yes. And then Reem, and then Randy from... Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Luzette King.
Luzette, right. Sorry.
I'm a listener. I actually want to endorse everything one of the board members said earlier about the way we dialogue. And I think we are having dialogue, much about what, but not so much how. And I do appreciate that, you know, the distinction between you as an interim board and the permanent board that you're trying to put together. So I'm going to make two comments with regard to that, those two sides. The first, I do not wish to see drastic changes in this organization from a listener point of view. As far as I'm concerned, the volunteer system, I believe, would guarantee commitment. Because if somebody is prepared to give up their time and resources, there's got to be some earnest feeling there to carry out the principles and the mission of this organization. The other point I'd like to make with regards to the long-term view is that programmers should be educated to propagate the mission in their slot. I believe this is what true outreach would be. And there was some mention last night about having internal audits, and this is where I'm going to touch on the immediate ideas that we should be thinking about. I do not believe at this stage that we should be too introspective. We need to look outside. A true audit would not necessarily include just looking at us in here. You have to look outside. And I think if you do that, you would alienate less people than you would more. And I say that because if we look around, the feeling in the United States, not just the United States, because I come from the Caribbean, and the political apathy is, there's no history to it. Everybody is too complacent. And I do not believe that the way to deal with that is to, you know, give people too much of what they don't like. I believe they should be fed by drips. And here is where I believe programmers should be feeding people politically by drips. And eventually, I think you'll catch them. The other thing I want to urge, and this is a last point, nobody in this room should be fearful of the term diversity. When I say diversity, and when a lot of people say diversity, we mean that the organization should mirror the community. That's all we're saying. And in order to do that, you have to be specific about what diversity means. And in order to be specific, you have to try as much as possible, and you won't do it all. But you have to try as much as possible to identify the elements in that community. And that's where I want to leave my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Reem. Reem and then Randy.
We keep talking about what is it we're going to cover, but what's really important is also how we cover it. We talk about analysis, But in reality, we're not going deep into the colonial and anti-colonial analysis. When we had a town hall meeting like a gathering here in D.C., trying to go into what the community wants us to do in fighting the war here and abroad, they talked about the necessity of really getting much deeper in the discussion, but connecting the dots from here to Africa, to Latin America, bringing the issue that Zionism is not just an occupation, it isn't the imperialist arm of the United States, and handle that within the context of what is going on. That's one point. The second point also that we seem to sometimes forget is we are ending up being gatekeepers. A lot of our producers feel that, oh, they know better. There is much less room to the community, be it from the rallies, be it from when things happen and you open the airwaves. And also, on a national level, we brought the issue that we need to hear coast-to-coast listeners talking about it. The average Joe needs to hear the other average Joe thinking, formulating, opposing, and discovering what is it we're trying to share with them as we try to enlighten them, if you would, so that they all become anti-war activists. Anti-war is also life. It's also daily expression. It's also a need of abstracting the message is very relevant, be it through the culture and through other means. Sometimes we are very sequential and very literal in how we approach things. And also, as we talk about diversity, we still feel that inside the network and on the airwaves, it is much more the westernized talking, be it that it's coming from Latino, African Americans, or European people. The people that have an accent, the people that might not be able to formulate as slickly and as western way their thought, talk coast to coast about not having enough, not just respect, but space. And we have a lot of listeners that are this type of people. So we need to remember that. I wanted to bring that forth to our attention and see how we can, as we do national programming, as we react to a war or hopefully stop it, that we do all of these different things. So we need to stop being gatekeepers and also retrain our producers coast to coast to stop being these gatekeepers, thinking they know it much more than their listeners or other less on-the-air, daily, weekly, whatever producers. We can learn a lot from new breath and new energy and the youth. The youth ask for a national youth programming. The youth feels that we need to attract other youth and we're not going to do it in the way we're doing programming now. So I want to bring that to all of your attention so that we develop these things deeper and implement them very soon because we need the youth. Without a very young student movement, I don't think we can stop any war. We know it historically. We need also to bring people who don't speak English and translate them on the air. It might seem more difficult, but it's very effective. We had a lot of success during the Second Intifada bringing direct voices from Palestine because they're not westernized when they don't know the English. And hence, we can learn a lot from a non-Western perspective. We need to hear much more Spanish on the air. The Asian community, there's a tremendously strong Korean community that now is pushed into you can work hard and you will make it. But in reality, they are being attacked in different ways, as we know from the axis of evil and all of that. So we need to find ways to bring them to our airwaves, and different styles of music, different things will do that. The last thing is, as we also look at each other and develop, I think we need to set up more nurturing and developing of staff. We all have a lot to offer, and we might also have shortcomings. Let's double up, so that together we're much better versus, oh, it's either all or nothing and you're out. We need each other every step of the way in this time more than ever. So I wanted to bring that to your attention as a board and see how we can make it. Last thing is, we don't know each other much. We have been dived into this thing called Pacifica, but really we have a cultural difference between East Coast and West Coast, and Texas is a whole different thing. and we come to it with all this luggage. So some of it is not personalities, it's not political perspective, but it's also this culture. We also have a different level of diversity from the liberals among us to the much more radical. Instead of jumping at each other's throat, let's remember the enemy is outside and see how we can work with each other to get to the next level. Basically, do much more than just on the air, be the foundation that we have a mission to be, to really affect social justice, and not forget what's going on locally, which doesn't seem to have as much relevance in some of the airwaves as it should be. Mm-hmm. Poverty activists in Washington, D.C. are really at a disadvantage in all of these things, because everybody comes to D.C. to fight everything else everywhere in the country, and then they leave. They don't spend the money, and the issues of the poverty activists that are often poor doesn't get handled. So maybe as a network, and as we think of what is it we're going to do to stop all of this administration going haywire, we need to also nurture this other level of activism here mostly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Randy? And then after Randy, I have Susan, Mary, Ted, and Willie.
My name is Randy Zimmerman, and I'm a proud listener sponsor at Pacifica affiliate WMNF in Tampa. Yeah. And headlines editor for Free Speech Radio News. And I speak totally for myself here. What I have learned most of all at Free Speech Radio News is that it's very easy to be good when you're surrounded by so many passionate and talented people. But our current economic, political, and social situation requires us that we be great. KPFA and KPFT have proven that revenue and strong training programs and news and public affairs personnel go hand in hand. Listeners want, appreciate, and pay for what they can't hear elsewhere. Listeners want alternative local voices, because that's about building something great. We develop these voices through news and any other type of training program, because when you learn about producing 1 minute, you can build and produce 3 minutes, and you can produce 5 minutes, and you can produce 15 minutes, and 30 minutes, and 60 minutes. Training's now being done mostly throughout the network by a whole lot of people who work more than 40 hours a week for very little. And in most cases, they get nothing except for the fact that they really believe in what they're doing. And we know that it takes time to flower, but we also know that that's how we build something great. The flow of news and information must flow in multiple directions simultaneously, from national to local, from local to national, from affiliates to national, mm-hmm. from affiliates and national through other alternative media, from other alternative media to Pacifica, mm-hmm. because that's how we build something great. And when Pacifica says that we don't have the resources to build diverse, strong news and training departments, I believe that's a deflection and asking us to fight for crumbs rather than feasting on the cake. I ask for the following commitment from management teams, both at national level and at the stations, that by the end of January there be a plan that has goals, very specific and concrete goals, for news training programs, public affairs training programs, as well as a gradual progression towards how that time gets on the air. By the end of February, to hire staff, whatever that may be and whatever form that may take at the individual stations, whether it's news directors, co-news directors, outreach people, whatever. By the end of March, a bona fide and not ad hoc training program. By the end of April, to implement the program that was prepared. And I ask KPFA and KPFT to recommit to those things and to document and share their successes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're just going to take a few brief comments. Okay, Susan.
This is Susan DeSilva, chair of the KPFA board. I wanted to respond to some things that Jabari said. My vision for Pacifica, which I think is shared by a lot of people, is that it be really inclusive, and that means that that we really listen to the listeners and empower the listeners. And I really would like us to be completely dependent on fund drives and money coming from the listeners. I think the only way we really listen to the listeners is if we are dependent on them. And in the short run, maybe we need other money to get us out of the hole, but in the long run, I think the listeners will support us if we're doing the right thing. And it makes us do the right thing to be have them be the ones who give us our money. The listeners should be the de facto owners of this foundation. And in the short run, what can be done in the bylaws to make sure that the listeners are empowered is to have a high degree of integration between the local level and the national level, so that the local boards implement the national board policies, but the national board committees should all be comprised of folks who have been elected at the local level, who are really responsible to the listeners. And giving that kind of power to the local level, I think you'll get better programming. The local folks really know what's going on locally, and you'll get better people to run. I think the way we need really good people on our local boards and our national board, and in order to attract those folks, they need to feel that what they're doing really is going to make a difference and going to make a difference about what goes on the air. So that's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mary.
Yes, Jabari mentioned something about that listener sponsorship wouldn't be enough. We're going to have to find other funding for this network because there's no way. They told Lou Hill that, too, when he one day got fed up with the commercial crap he had to say over the air, and he walked out and said, there's going to be another way. And everyone said, that can't work. But that was over 50 years ago, and it's worked all over the world. We have stations, hundreds and hundreds, that are supported in a self-sustaining system by the people who are served by what they hear. And there's no reason now to change that. With all due respect, what Jabari is talking about is totally antithetical to that. We're going to have commercial enterprises. Then you lose exactly what Susan and so many of you have been talking about. We lose the integration. We lose the inclusiveness. We lose the vitality and the whole purpose of this network. And I hear people talking about national programming. It seems to me like a moth going to the flame. The minute people get on a board that's national, they begin to have these delusions. It started in the 90s. It started when Pat Scott designed our building. A lot of the problems we have is because it was never envisioned to have a live bunch of people, hundreds of them coming in from all over, learning, producing the kind of life we have. It was meant to have someone sit there and take national feeds because the National Foundation was going to produce the programming. The foundation existed not necessarily to give scholarships. I don't believe that's a definition for a foundation. It existed to be the umbrella corporation to manage and sustain radio stations. And it has done that. We could have many more. But we have plants to do the programming. For every reason that's been said here today, and financial is one of the biggest, we need to do our national programming at the local level and share and promote that programming across the network. We do not need to build a resources and a plant and hire national program directors, national producers, and start glitzy national programs. We had this. This was the NPR goal. Okay. And lastly, the fact that this happens so regularly, that the minute people come together on a national level, they immediately start to get together and think of how they can do all these things, is one more of the many reasons to include all kinds of staff at every level. I hear people talking about the staff. I think I should point out that KPFA, we have 12 different kinds of employment, three of whom are unionized. The other nine, one is management. We have 8 levels of non-union staff, of which 4 are paid in some manner for casual work, part-time work, temporary work, consulting work, all kinds of things. So the distinction between paid and unpaid I've got the paper and I would be glad to make copies. And so when we talk about staff being included, most of these staff people are listeners most of the time. Very few, very few. We have 20-some-odd that come every day and work, and all the rest are there maybe 5 hours a week, whatever. In varying degrees, they come and go. They should all be included, all these voices. That's how we'll get the diversity and get all the communities and how we can keep on going. We can do it with listener support. Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have Ted and Willie, and then we're going to hear from Vern.
Jabari, thank you for starting this dialogue. I think that the dialogue in terms of the mission really needs to happen at the local level. And a lot of us have meetings after our meetings, I think we probably all do, and it's that 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning conversations that ought to be starting at the local level and then being brought forward to the national board. One of the ways that I think that we can build this organization is by starting college chapters of Friends of Pacifica, and that is something that we need to be doing at the colleges in our Signal areas. In terms of revenue generation, we've talked about the archives, and in Houston, one of our members threw out the idea that we ought to have pencils printed with the name Pacifica on the side. I think that's outside of our mission, but at least it started a dialogue. And what I think we need to do is to utilize the archives to start publishing books. We also need to start publishing folios once again so that we can bring to those people who are not listening to the station the idea of what is transpiring. In terms of the books, I recently testified before the State Board of Education textbook selection process, and the right wing has taken over that process in Texas, and Texas, for all of its whatevers, good or bad, we dominate, and I think it's bad, we dominate textbook selection throughout the United States. That's been known since the 50s, and the right wing has done it. Our archives should be a vehicle for producing textbooks that tell people what's really going on in the world and has been going on in the world, and that can be a nonprofit enterprise. What drives this whole process and what needs to be the focus is bylaws. All the other things that we are talking about now are secondary to getting this bylaws thing. That's the engine that drives this thing. Once we get past the approval of the bylaws, then we can focus on these other things. But bylaws is essential. And one of the things that needs to appear and be given far greater discussion than has taken place so far is the role of committees in this process, and committees that of people that are not on the air, that are not producers of shows. The National Board needs to identify in a much clearer way than it has so far the kinds of committees that need to exist in general, not mandating anything, but at least giving some clue to the locals the kinds of ideas that are emanating from throughout the five stations in the network. The way that this whole bylaws process has evolved was to say we need to have outreach to the community, which we have done, and we have had a broad range of people involved in the discussion vis-a-vis the bylaws. But that is the seed that Dick was talking about a few minutes ago, and that seed has to be planted again and again and again in terms of making sure that we have committees like the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo does, with 170 committees and 13,000 volunteers. That is in Houston alone. That has to be what we do in Pacifica. The most important thing is, as far as the bylaws are concerned, and it has hardly been discussed at all, is the amending process. No matter how bad, and I don't think it's going to be bad, the bylaws are, what needs to be clear is how we rectify the mistakes we make, and that bylaws convention that hopefully will take place shortly after the bylaws are actually passed. Last night someone said something about we need to allow for binding referendums, and then in the next sentence they said some people walk in here and what they say creates a wake and perhaps chaos. If we allow for binding... Two more points, Leslie.
Fine,
this is one of those
quickly.
Two. Okay. If we allow for binding referendums, any kind of outside group can walk in here with a huge number of people and force the National Board to do and the network to do something, that would result in absolute chaos. The National Board has to be the entity that finally vets and decides on policy. In terms of diversity, if I was to start a university and I did not have a Black Studies program, an Asian Studies program, a Mexican American Studies program, and I tried to recruit people from those communities, but I didn't have any curriculum for them, would they come to my university? I think not. The analogy is appropriate to Pacifica. If we don't have that kind of programming and that role for participation of those people from those communities, they are not going to come. We have to have those welcoming mats to create the kind of diversity that we are talking about.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just Willie, and then we're going to wrap up this part of the agenda. Just turn it down. Just twist it down. Yeah. Okay, well.
Well, first I'd like to welcome Dick Gregory. He's been a idol of mine for quite some time. I think he made a significant contribution to this country and the civil rights movement that really has brought us all together here. I'd like to congratulate the interim board for coming in and plugging in a position that you didn't really know each other, and you really had two factions on the board. So I recommend you, I congratulate you for what you've been able to pull off. I also congratulate those people who pushed the constituency model, because if they hadn't pushed the constituency model, we'd have trouble with the 50% that we're talking about at KPFA. And they helped to push that out and make it happen. I agree with their philosophy, but I don't agree with their method of getting there. So we all have did a lot of contributing. We have spent a lot of money dialoguing and listening to each other. There have been a lot of misunderstanding about where we're going and how we are to get there. I appreciate Fergie saying about the boat and about it, hey, it's crashed against a rock and we're leaking, but we are plugging the hole. I disagree that we are completely dysfunctional, but it's time to move on. Right now we have an albatross around our neck as long as we're in transition. We have to move the bylaws. We ain't gonna be no more ready in 3 months from now than we are right now. We need to move. While we are here, we need to move and get a referendum that the stations can take back, the local boards, and get it ratified. We need bylaws. We can't plan. Everybody loved to plan. You can't plan with an interim board. We can't plan as long as we're in transition. We need to move and move now. Other words, Rome's burning down and we're sitting here arguing. We have come out with some good stuff. Pull it all together and let us get this done now and stop spending our money running around the country. It costs money every time we do this. Now, we've done a lot. You know, we've listened to people. But it's time this interim board really moving things, and let us move and get this done. And I don't see no reason why, when I looked at that we can't get it done while we're here. When I looked at the agenda, and I said, well, she only got 3 hours on there for bylaws. Now I think, well, hell, that's enough. As much as we done studied bylaws, what are we going to change? You want to bring in a new constituency model or something? What are we going to do? Let us move. Let's get it done here. And then we got the board chairs here from all the local boards. We got, and most of you are here on the national board. Now let's get it done while we're here. We're not going to have another chance that's any better than what we're doing right now. So let's get it moved. And hey, I'm from KPFA, and I'm telling you, they were just as bad as Houston. But we are working on it, and we are working real hard. And well, people want to know, well, why you ain't got one Asian? Is that the only thing you can find? I tell you what we do have. We have Asians that's programming and talking to their people. Now, that's worth more than one person being on a board. But we are trying to get Asian, and we will. All those things we can do. But we got to move on now. And we'll be so glad that we did. You can go home, whew, you know, it's like you done run all day with a bear at you. Well, and you finally get safety. So let us move. And let the board stand up and do it. It's in your court. Okay. We done put our stuff out here. The ball's in your court. Okay. Now let's move it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, David, 30 seconds here. David, and then Verna wanted to add a few comments.
To follow up, I'm on number six. To follow up on Dave Furt at KPFK, and I sure didn't mean to suggest, if I said it, that this thing is dysfunctional. We have done extraordinary work. And I don't mean the board. I mean the whole community. Extraordinary amount of work to rescue this thing. But I think that the most important thing that we need to do now, not on the national board, but I'm looking right now at probably the next national board, at least large parts of it, looking in this room, and I know people listening. What we need to do as the listeners, not as the board, but as the listeners, y'all need to talk long term. You all, those of you who are going to run for the local boards and the national boards, need to start the conversation about what you want, what your vision is, so that you can explain your view, learn other views, and develop and evolve greater views, so that eventually when these elections happen, we're not voting for people based on their social associations, their affiliations with this group or that, or how they look or whatever, but we need to know who these people are. And I'm really very concerned that this conversation is not happening at the stations or in the communities, because we're fighting about who gets what short term. And I want to know who I'm going to vote for. And right now, I don't know what y'all think, except a few of you coming to the public comment. And I think that conversation is dangerously absent. So I encourage all of you to start thinking about, amongst those of you who are going to run, where you're going. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Verna wanted to add a few comments here. Yeah, anyway. Sure.
Good morning. I'm Verna Avery Brown with
We got that mic. What's the number on that mic?
Mic number two, please.
Two?
Yes.
Number two.
Yes. I'm Verna Avery Brown with National Programming. Ooh. You know, I'm hearing a lot of animosity or fear about the topic of national programming. And, you know, I just want to say that we don't have to have that kind of attitude towards national programming. You know, it doesn't have to be either or. It can be both. At this point in our history at Pacifica, we don't have a formal model, a formal programming paradigm. But what we have been doing since January, since Dan and I came back, has been a very effective model that actually includes local and national. From February, when we started with the Save Our Signal programming on a national level, we started a model that included a segue from each one of the five Pacifica stations, including Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News. It was a raging success. People want to hear each other. From there we went to February, to the reparations program, to the Juneteenth program, to the April 20th rally. We included, you know, all the way up through to the September 11th coverage. Each time we used the same model, where we went from each Pacifica station, Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, and each contributed their best in terms of local programming. We elevated it to the national level so that we can see each other, we can appreciate what we are all doing as a network. It doesn't have to be either or. This is precisely what national programming should be. It has worked successfully. It can continue to work or not. I think if there needs to be a dialogue about national programming, we should decide to have it. If people feel that national programming is not working, then let's tweak it. But we have a network. Why not use it? I mean, we are up against an awesome enemy. And we need to really devote every bit of our resources to fighting that enemy. Yeah, that's why I decided I wanted to move into programming, because I think, you know, some of these battles that we are fighting are very important for the future of this network. But I feel like I want to spend my time and energy and life force fighting the Bush administration and what they are trying to do to us and to our sons and our daughters and to the next generation and to this planet. I happen to feel like national programming is the single most important weapon that we have in our arsenal in this war against the war. I mean, that's what it is. If we're going to win this thing, our programming has to speak to the issues of the day And today, the single most pressing issue facing Americans from a national perspective is the impending attack against Iraq. It shouldn't be. We should be focusing on housing, jobs, education, health care, child care, a host of other issues that are being drowned out by the drumbeat of the administration's war agenda. That's right, racial profiling. Willie, you'll make that point for me. Let's just that too. But because presidents select George W. Bush, I savor every opportunity to say that, because we can't forget he was selected. Bush has made war with Iraq as a mandate for his administration. This country and our precious resources are being dragged into an illegal war by a president who most of the world sees as either, you know, a moron or a warmonger, or as Leslie said the other day, both. You know, so the aide to Canadian Prime Minister Chrétien called Bush a moron, and she eventually had to resign. But when she initially offered her resignation to the Prime Minister, he wouldn't accept it. He said, "Bush is not a moron. He's my friend." I don't know what point he was trying to make, but that was the comment.
But I'm my best friend.
Our rights as American citizens are under assault, George. You're right. The Congress has abdicated its authority to declare war, granting the president the power instead. Attorney General John Ashcroft and the rest of the administration are shredding the Constitution with draconian laws that strip us of our basic constitutional rights. This so-called war against terrorism is really terrorizing honest, peace-loving, law-abiding American citizens in this country. They just passed the Leave No Child Behind Act, which forces public school administrators to give military recruiters the names, addresses, and telephone numbers of all high school seniors attending public school, or risk losing federal aid. One military recruiter was saying, and this is a quote, "Nothing's going to stop me from contacting the kids unless their parents contact their congressperson, or maybe if the kid has died." So this is the kind of mentality we're up against. They need to recruit because they are going to war. 50,000 troops are already amassed in the region, regardless of what the UN may find or not find, the UN weapons inspectors. We had a young high school student on Peace Watch a couple of weeks ago who was suspended for voicing opposition to the war. He's a soccer jock, and they had asked him to speak at the pep rally. And instead of rallying his fellow students for the game, he gave them a pep talk against the war. Hello. And the principal was furious, placed him in school suspension, and refused to allow him to play in the last game of the season, which was really very unfair and cruel to a high school athlete. Troy Stewart is his name, from Marquette High School in Marquette, Michigan. He needs a show like Peace Watch and programming like Pacifica that highlights stories like his. Diane Wilson, an anti-war activist from Texas, who up until a couple of days ago has been conducting a hunger fast in front of the White House to show her opposition to this war. You know, Diane said, "If Saddam Hussein had broccoli growing underground instead of oil, we wouldn't be planning to bomb his country." You know, she's one of my sheroes, as far as I'm concerned, sitting out in front of that White House in a tent in this weather. We need to have shows like this to present her and other heroes in this struggle to each other. Diane Wilson, you know,
we need to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I had a few more pages here.
Exactly.
I take my job seriously because right now I am the one who has been helping to develop these national programs. And I take it seriously, and I just want to say that, you know, it really doesn't have to be either or. The model that we have produced is very effective, and it provides for local programmers to present ideas. There are program councils in each one of these stations. What we do is we caucus with the general managers, and we decide, we rise to the need. We've decided that the need now is the war. We have peace watch, but there can be a civil liberties watch. You know, there can be a police brutality watch, et cetera, okay. et cetera. So I just want to thank you all for your time and your patience.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Jabari, and then we really do need to move the agenda.
Jabari Zakia from WPFW Lab. One of the things, and then listen to the comments, is people who claim to be associated with Pacifica, and particularly people who have come to these meetings, have not yet learned that because you don't like something that you hear the first time, that the first thing you shouldn't do is to find a way to attack it. The first thing you should do is just try to understand it. Okay? I was listening to comments about stuff I've made, and it's like, well, who is this guy? Because they didn't sound like the things I said. And this animosity, this poisonous animosity that germinates from these meetings and from the email list and other things is driving the hell away good people who don't want to be involved with this crap, but who do want to be involved with performing the mission and engaged in it. And I would just say that all of us sitting on this board, except maybe a few people who had been on the board, came to this board new. I have served on boards. I have been presidents of local organizations. I served on my condominium association's board for 5 years and made financial decisions. So I didn't come to this thing new. But when you come to a board like this, you have to bring a different mentality and a different level of accountability and responsibility that isn't appreciated by the comments that I hear from people sitting up here. I think everybody up here can say personally that you can't just think about your little thing. You have to take a large perspective to these positions, and you have to take into account the totality of the ramifications of what you're going to deal with. That isn't a political speech that can you play through the crowd, because the crowd can be wrong and you can be the only one right because you have the information to understand why they are wrong. Okay? And one of the things I really find distressing, and y'all going to have to get over this, at some point in time, you're going to have to trust who's ever going to be sitting up here on this board. At some point in time, you're going to have to say, well, look, maybe they do have more information than I do. And maybe what they did do, maybe I don't understand it right now, but maybe I should trust them because they're not trying to destroy the network because they didn't do what you want them to do. And until you all get to that, in fact, I wish all of you could sit up here and then maybe I can sit out there and other people can sit out there and say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't? And then you would understand that it ain't that easy. It ain't that easy. So you all can decide what you want to do, but either you can help the people who, by definition and by corporation structure, which you hate, but by legal requirements under FCC, these people who are going to be the directors are going to be the official owners of the licenses, whether you like it or not. That's FCC law. But you can hate all that, but it doesn't do the foundation and it doesn't do you any good to have so much animosity targeted at these people just because they step out of an LSB and sat on a table, but now they become your enemies, and they were the same people they were while they were sitting on the LSBs. That has to stop if we're going to move this foundation ahead, okay? That really does, because you're not helping the foundation and you're not helping yourself.
Okay, thank you. All right, I again want to thank Jabari for, you know, asking that this kind of discussion be put on the agenda. Again, I don't think any of us expected that we were going to solve all the problems that we have aired a number of very important issues and concerns. And I think we, as this interim board, are challenged to try and figure out how to help move this kind of discussion out into the five station signal areas and the communities of Pacifica. We do need to move this agenda. I just want to welcome Marion Barry this morning to the meeting also. Before we go on, I just want to take a moment to, I'm not sure everybody has heard the news this morning, but apparently late last night or in the middle of the night, Phil Berrigan, who has been a long time peace and justice activist, anti-war activist, and religious leader as well, died after many years of struggling against illness. So I do want to take a moment to acknowledge his work and contribution and the legacy that has, in fact, you know, gone hand in hand with the work of Pacifica. There's probably a handful of people around the country whose life experience really are what Pacifica is all about. And Phil Berrigan was certainly one of those people. So I just want to not interrupt the flow of this meeting, because it is very critical that we continue our work, but also pause for a moment to recognize the passing of this extremely important person who contributed so much to the struggle here in this country and around the world for peace and justice. So, I know we're on the air, and silence is a little awkward on the air, but if those people listening can just bear with us for one moment more, that'd be great. Okay, so again, we do this work, hopefully for the rest of today and the rest of the weekend. We will move through this agenda cognizant of people like Phil Berrigan and acknowledging the contribution that he and so many others do make. So the next agenda item is getting right into the nitty-gritty, money. and Jabari has prepared a treasurer's report, so we want to hear the report from Jabari, and then we've also been given adjusted budgets that we want to look at. So, Jabari, you want to open up?
This is Jabari Zakia, interim treasurer, WPFW Lab. This is a report that primarily covers between September 2002 from the last Houston meeting to the present meeting here in Washington. And I'm going to address some things in just alphabetical order like I have in my other reports. Accounting software. I've reported previously on some of the problems with the Great Plains software we currently have. I've basically got a contract to replace that with another package that I think is on a different platform. It's moving from a Windows to a Linux platform. And that's a cost of $25,500 and then a $14,000 training. I think that really will help us really get on a better footing. Audit is underway. It's conducted, as Dan said, is underway, and hopefully will be done by February. Banking. I have previously submitted proposals about looking at consolidating our banking operations. We have had a proposal from Citibank since February of this year, and we haven't done anything with that. We need to probably look at other proposals to look at consolidating our banking operations, which will give us a lot of efficiencies and hopefully cut down on our fees that we pay at the different banks. Budgeting process, this is very important. The foundation is able to create numbers on papers that represent a budget, but the numbers don't represent the necessary allocation of financial resources to the total activities and tasks which the foundation is could, should, or needs to engage in. The budget process, as we've engaged in it, also doesn't emphasize our cash flow problem, since all the revenue on paper is merely projected. This is not an accounting issue. This is primarily an issue of where the people who run the organization see and choose to make the priorities of the foundation. All budgets are basically a resource allocation of what your priorities are. The current budget process is seriously flawed because it fails to recognize and assess the impact of various goals and objectives that the board as a whole has yet to envision, or let alone begin to discuss the impact of. We are currently being saddled with the consequences of some previously unwise and unanalyzed decisions that we as a board have made, which we are currently paying dearly for and will likely continue to pay dearly for. This manifests itself in not only the outlays of direct monetary payments that the foundation is faced with, which is in the process of draining us, but it will also manifest itself in the inability and unwillingness of the foundation to do significant future planning in the face of immediate financial shortfalls. Though we have shortfalls, we cannot renege on at least a modicum of some kind of strategic planning. The apparent desire and willingness not to engage in deliberate, objective, and well-thought-out strategic and tactical planning is and will be an albatross around the foundation. This has and will continue to act as a heavy ball and chain on the ankles of the operational capacity of the foundation to develop and prosper. Until we deal with that and operate this foundation in such a manner that and put the health and welfare of the foundation first and foremost above personal and individual concerns, it will continue to suffer until the foundation is operated as a true national organization with national goals and objectives. It will only trudge along as a neutered dog being wagged by its tail. The present budget process still reflects the local stations controlling and driving the actions of the national operations at too great an extent. There are some issues confronting the foundation that can only be addressed from a national perspective, and others that can best be addressed from a national perspective. Until we as the people who run the foundation begin to plan for, allocate resources for, and then operate the foundation as a national entity with national goals and objectives which are consistent with the Pacifica mission, the foundation will only leap along in a continual survival mode, a mere pittance of what it can become. Bylaws. There have been two special meetings this year, October 13th and 14th here in D.C., November 22nd and 24th, 2 weeks ago in Houston. These meetings were unbudgeted and have cost the foundation at least $40,000 so far. And that is probably conservative. We'll hear more from that from Yasmin, I guess. Whatever bylaws come out of this process need to be assessed from a financial impact they will have on the foundation. If the bylaws do create a system of yearly or nearly yearly elections, I would require that a financial impact statement be generated before ratification, which will assess not only the financial impact of these elections, but also assess the operational impact they will have on the stations and the impact they will have at achieving or deterring the fulfillment of the Pacifica mission. Debt reduction. The foundation professional services debt still is over $1 million on paper. The foundation is paying off several of these debt claims and contesting those it finds unwarranted. There still exists potential serious financial fallout from the resolution of ongoing and future negotiations. Democracy Now! Contract. Regular payments to Democracy Now! Production started in October 2002. We paid out currently about $200,000 already and are still obligated to pay at minimum $480,000 in FY 2003, which is from October of this year to September of next year. These payouts are causing a major drain on the foundation resources. This situation needs to be dealt with quickly. Finance office operations. The finance office currently in December 2000 consists of the controller and four temporary employees. And that's been, we've had the four temporary employees since I think at least mid-October, come the end of September. Yasmin, the controller, is leaving soon and will probably happily fully gone by June of 2003. Thus, the foundation will be subjected to the very undesirable situation of having its entire finance office staff be new, with no history of any of the financial operations of the organization. at the same time, if we're going to make changes like the software system, this is the time to do it, because nobody who's here now is going to be here, and everybody who's going to get trained can get trained on the same thing starting out. I have continually spoken out against the need or desirability to disrupt the financial management operations of the foundation, which needed to be fixed and made fully operational first in order to create a stable operational base for the foundation to deal with its financial problems. Since the full board has found it acceptable to cause further disruption of these operations, I would urge that the executive director present a fully written and detailed plan of the necessary steps, activities, and personnel moves needed to perform the reorganization of the finance office with a fully constructed time chart and full cost projections and estimated completion of the reorganization. I would urge the board require such a detailed plan be created and presented with a presentation of the current and future expenditures before full acceptance by the board is granted. Fundraising drives. 2002 has been an exceptional year for fundraising, but we should go into calendar year 2003 with a more modest expectation, and Ed Leslie dealt upon it. The economy under the current national regime is causing a deepening economic downturn. If the country goes into overt war, the economic downturn will be most likely worse for the population base, which has significantly supported Pacifica. And if you didn't know, Bush just got rid of his Treasury Secretary and his other economic advisors this past yesterday, in fact.